Be in Psalm 68 today, and we will start off with verse 19, and then we'll go on down from there. And Jim, how about you leading us in a word of prayer this morning?
Here, Lord, in Psalm 68.
Speak up just a little bit.
Just looking at a verse here in Psalm 68 in our prayer here, and it says, who daily loads us with benefits.
Yes.
Wow. God's not like a man that he can lie.
Yes.
It says that you load us daily.
Yes,
Father. With your benefits. And you tell us not to forget all your benefits.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here today, this morning, Lord, pondering your word, eating on your word this morning, because we don't want to forget, Lord, all your benefits. Your benefits are numerous. Your benefits are abundant.
Benefits. Yes.
You said that you come to give us life. And more abundantly. So, Father, we love your word.
Thank you.
Because in your word, Father, you acknowledge and you reveal and you show us
yes.
all the benefits of being your child, of being
Amen.
Your sons and being your daughters.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll open up the word to us this morning
yes.
in a special way, Lord. And let us see the face of Jesus in the Word, Father.
Yes.
We want to see the Lord. We want to see the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for this time together, Father. We
yes.
thank you for the ability to come into this place this morning.
Yes.
That there was nothing that hindered us, Father, from coming in here this morning. That you made a straight path for our feet.
Yes.
Even as this Word declares
yes.
that this Word is a lamp and it's a light unto our feet, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in and partake of this word. And Father, you said that you give us, the Lord prayed, give us our daily bread.
Yes.
And Father, that's what we're here for. This
yes.
is our daily bread. This is what sustains us, Father. This is our life. It isn't this physical temple that we walk in, Father. Our heart doesn't beat because the blood pumps through it and the blood has some magic in it. Our heart beats, Lord, because of the force of your life
yes.
operating and working in
yes.
our bodies. It has nothing to do with our body, Lord.
Yes.
You are our life, the
yes,
Bible
Lord.
Says. Hallelujah. What a benefit there is in that alone.
Yes.
Father, thank you, Lord. I was thinking this morning about how in Genesis you gave your man dominion over all the birds of the air and the fish in the water and so on and so forth. And then we read where man fell in his rebellious state. But now, Lord, we're reminded that paradise has come back to us again through
oh,
Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Oh.
And Father, that we now have dominion, Father. And these are the things that your word declares to us this morning, Father.
Mm-hmm.
So again, quicken this word to our heart, Father. Reinforce this word in our inner being, Father. And even to those who would hear
yes.
this little Sunday school lesson this morning, Father, let it go beyond this room, Father.
Yes.
Let it be carried on the wings of your spirit, Lord,
yes.
into the hearts and into the minds
yes,
of
Lord.
Any of those who are looking to see you, Father.
Yes,
we give you all the glory this
Father,
morning,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Hallelujah. In
yes.
Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Praise
God. Praise God.
Praise,
God.
Praise,
God.
Praise
yes.
the Lord.
Yes. Lord. Lord, hallelujah.
You know, in looking at that first verse there, verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation,
yes.
Shalah. And, you know, when I look at that, that word benefits isn't really in the original, but it really is all about his benefits.
Yes.
You know, one time years ago, the Lord had me share out of Romans, the 12th chapter, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And if you look at those words there, one time, the way the Lord deals with me at times, is I was working with a guy, and actually he comes to this church now, Bob Kuhn. I was working with Bob. He was a real young Christian at that time. And this is like 30-something years ago. And he said to me, he says, Oscar, he says, has the Lord ever dealt with you about his will? And I said, well, I said, I gave him an answer of what I had kind of heard. I said, well, I know God has a perfect will, and I believe he has a submissive will. And he said, well, you know, I was reading in Romans, the 12th chapter last night, about his good, acceptable, and perfect will. And I could show you my old Bible, and that page is brown from my hands sweating over it and reading it for years and years and years and years, because I kept that same Bible. I still have it, actually, but I don't have it with me. Mm-hmm. But Romans, the 12th chapter, I read that thousands of times, probably. Mm-hmm. Cried over it probably different times and sweated over it, a little bit of everything else. But I never really saw that until he said that to me. Mm-hmm. So that just like a bell went off inside me, and I went home and I started looking at that. Mm-hmm. Be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And that word, be not conformed, don't be made into the image of the world. You know, everybody thinks they got to dress like the world, talk like the world, do everything that the world's doing. Yes. I've had Margaret say to me different times, you know, when long hair came in, you know, years and years ago, mm-hmm. I didn't like real long hair, so I didn't wear long hair, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. When guys are bald, they're shaving their head bald, I got news for you, I'm hanging on to my hair. As long as it'll stay up there, I'm hanging on to it. Please, Lord, don't let it fall out. You know. But, you know, because Margaret used to always kid me, she said, you're always combing your hair, you're like Fonzie. You know? I still do that, even though it's kind of thin, I still comb it all the time. But, you know, but I grew up in the era where you kept your hair, you know, combed and all that stuff. Anyway, so I began to look at that. Be not conformed to the image of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. And that word transformed is the word metamorpho. Mm-hmm. It's where the word metamorphosis comes from.
Yes.
And, you know, Brother Eddie used to preach sermons a lot on that. And the metamorphosis, what happens in a metamorphosis is that a one-dimensional creature becomes a two-dimensional creature. Mm-hmm. A frog who is a tadpole and he's in the water and he's restricted just to the water, once he goes through his metamorphosis, he can come up on dry land, mm-hmm. or he can go back in the water. Either one. You know, a caterpillar is one-dimensional. It can climb up into the trees, but it can't leave the trees other than climbing back down until it goes in and gets in that cocoon and goes through a metamorphosis. And once it goes through a metamorphosis, then when it breaks out of the cocoon, after its wings dry and everything, it can fly off into the heavens, mm-hmm. or it can still land on the earthly ground. So when he says, be not conformed, be transformed, be metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing there is literally a word that means to re-innovate. To re-innovate. And you know, industry out there is always trying to re-innovate things. They're trying to come up with something new, something better, you know, in computers. You buy a computer today, 6 months from now, it's not the top of the line. Because they've come out with a bigger one, with more memory, with faster processors, everything, you know. There's always innovation. Mm-hmm. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be made into the image, but be you transformed, be you metamorphosed by the re-innovation of your thinking. And how do we re-innovate our thinking? We begin to confess what God says, that we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Not that we're going to get it, not that we got to do anything to get it, but that we have the mind of Christ. And the way you do that is you say, Lord, what would you have me do today?
Yes.
Lord, how can I please you today? you know, that kind of thing. And he'll let you know. And if you're not doing what he wants you to do, he'll let you know that too.
That's true.
But yes. It goes on and says that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. When I looked at those words, the good will of God, that word means beneficial. Mm-hmm. And God began to show me how that when you first become a Christian, the first things that you learn as a Christian, you start learning about the benefits of being in Christ. Mm-hmm. And boy, I tell you, there's a lot of them, you know? I mean, there is a lot of benefits about being in Christ. First of all, you know, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, mm-hmm. because tomorrow will take care of itself. All you do is today, if you'll hear his voice, follow him and do what he tells you to do today. Mm-hmm. You learn about the benefits of healing. You learn about the benefits of salvation. You learn about all the benefits about him being your source and everything. You learn all those benefits, and they're wonderful. And I mean, and most of the Christians out there are kind of dwelling still in that realm of they want to know the benefits. Well, bless God, if you give $10,000, God will give you a $100,000 house, you know. Or if you give to this preacher, God will give you a new car. And you can hear that kind of stuff on TV and on the radio. And they really push the benefits, you know. But I tell you what,
that's
the good realm. Yeah, that's where everybody wants to be in the good realm. See, yeah, that's right. But what happens after the second one is the acceptable will of God, and that acceptable will of God is a word that means well pleasing, acceptable, well pleasing. And you know, I love what God said to Jesus after he was baptized. When he basically said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Yes.
That's a higher realm.
Mm-hmm.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I think most of the Christians who are walking in a little deeper light today, they begin to realize that God is well pleased in them. It's not by what they do, but it's by their relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And even like Joey was talking about her book about intimacy with God and stuff. And that's what it's really all about. It's about you learning to be intimate with him and realizing that he's well pleased in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then your desire has to become to please him in all things. And as that becomes your desire to please him in all things, then you've moved up into that second realm there. But yet there's one higher realm than that, the perfect will of God.
Yes.
And you know, my mother, she told me a story one time. She said, she was in praying, and she said, "Son," she said, "I asked God, show me your perfect will for my life." And she said, and he didn't, and almost killed me. She said, I thought, I can't do that, I can't do that. And she didn't realize at that point that literally she did do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what he showed her, he showed her like her standing up and just dispensing God's word,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my mother's name, Irene, meant messenger of peace,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she was a messenger of peace. And I've told this story before, I used to hear her talking on the phone sometimes, and she'd be blessing people more than she was saying anything. She'd be listening and letting them pour all of their troubles onto her. And, "Well, honey, it'll be okay. And, "Well, honey, I'll pray for you." And, you know, mm-hmm. that would be her responses mm-hmm. to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
She was being a messenger of peace.
Yes.
You know, and you know, she said, "But when I asked God for his perfect will for my life," she said, "when he showed me that," she said, "I thought my husband, you know, I hadn't been dead long. I got four little kids. My oldest one's 4 years old."
Mm-hmm.
She took that to mean he wanted her to go out and preach. And she thought, mm-hmm. "I can't do that." And I'll tell you something else. When God gives you a vision of what his perfect will for your life is, don't jump to any conclusions.
Yeah.
Let him unfold it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he will unfold it.
Yeah.
Day by day. And I can tell you, now the funny thing about it is that when I was about 15 years old, or 14 or 15, I had a real heavy encounter. I guess I was 15. maybe just barely 16, I'm not sure. I had a real heavy encounter with the Lord. And I was getting under conviction, and I hadn't committed my life to the Lord. But I was getting under conviction, and you know, God had healed me from an epilepsy when I was a little kid and all that stuff. And what ended up happening was, as I was under conviction one night, and Mother had given me a Bible storybook when I was real little, you know. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like any time I'd ever get under conviction, I'd haul out that Bible storybook and read them stories. Yeah, I'd read them stories about Samson and, you know, David and Goliath and all them stories, you know, and I'd read them stories. And I actually still have that Bible storybook.
Yes.
It's old, but I got it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But anyway, what I'm saying there is that then when I had an encounter with the Lord, I went to sleep one night saying, God, I believe, but why can't I serve you? You know, mm-hmm. And I mean, I just kept repeating that over and over. And that was the first time I ever really had a vision. And it was like the Lord showed me. He showed me all the things that I was doing that was not pleasing to him. I mean, he showed me. I mean, it was like he showed me graphically what I was doing, you know. And then after that, he showed me standing behind a pulpit, you know. And I mean, I was 15 years old. And I mean, and I... When I woke up the next morning, I felt the anointing and the presence of the Lord so strong in that room. It was just overwhelming almost.
Don't you wish you could stay with him?
Yeah,
forever?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I went out that day and felt like I kicked it all over. And I didn't get saved for about 5 more years after that. I actually gave my life to the Lord. But when I did, you see what I'm doing now. I'm standing behind the pulpit, speaking his words, what
yes.
he showed me.
Yes.
But anyway, what I'm saying there, his perfect will, the word for perfect there is a word. We have a tendency that we put a perfection on things that is unattainable. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, I work with real, I machine parts, and I work with really small tolerances. You know, I mean, you all know how a decimal point works.
Mm-hmm.
You have a decimal point, and if you have something behind the decimal point,
mm-hmm.
not in front of it,
mm-hmm.
it means it gets smaller and smaller.
And smaller.
Well, the tolerances that I hold is like 0, 0, 0, 1
mm-hmm.
sometimes. I mean, way down there, you know, but that's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And sometimes I've held tolerances in the millionths of an inch, but that's not perfect. Perfect is like infinity. There isn't, you know, our conception
mm-hmm.
of perfection is way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we think we can never attain perfection. But I got news for you. We can attain perfection because as we see him as he is, Scripture says we'll be just like him. Yeah. And what the word perfect means, it means entire, it means complete, but it also means a full-aged man, a full-aged
mm-hmm.
man. And when the Lord was showing me this, he was dealing with me about Corinthians, where it says, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love, or charity. It says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when
yes.
that which is perfect is come, the in part will be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why will the in part be done away with? The in part will be done away with because why would you take part when you have it all?
Mm-hmm.
When you have the fullness of it, why would you even take part?
Mm-hmm.
And those three words there, faith, hope, and charity or love, the first one, faith, you start learning about faith when you start learning about the benefits of being in Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So basically, you know, that's the first realm. You start learning faith, and that faith never stops. You take that through all three realms.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits go through all three realms. But that's the first one. Then in the next realm is faith, hope. And the word hope means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And I'm going to tell you what, that comes with his well-pleasing will. when we realize that he's well-pleased in us and our attitude becomes to please him in all things, then what happens there is we can anticipate with pleasure what he's going to do.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and it's very simple, but those two work together there. Mm-hmm. Then the last one is perfect will and love. And you can't come into the perfect will of God until he begins to so express his love in you, through you, and out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And to you. I mean, he's already expressed it to us from the beginning realm. But we begin to become an expression of his love. And that word there is the word agape. And that's the word love feast. And that's when you can, when you just sit down and have a love feast with him.
Mm-hmm.
I love
yes,
that.
Lord.
Love feast, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of times
yes.
we'll sit down at Thanksgiving and boy, there's all kind of stuff there. And you always eat more at Thanksgiving or sometimes
yes.
than you should. And you walk away thinking, whoa, I shouldn't have ate all that. I shouldn't have ate all that. You know, I'll pay for that tonight or tomorrow or whatever. Or a couple of days from now when it transfers into
Ooh.
Belly fat or something. But the neat thing about it is that his perfect will, when we come into his perfect will, that of a full-aged man, will be an expression of the love of God, the love feast of God. And boy, and now abideth these three, but the greatest of these, Scripture says, is charity or love. And that's the completion of it. That's why it's the greatest, because it's really the completion of what he's desiring to do. But he's trying to bring us into a place of coming into a mature situation in him, of growing up in him. And there's three realms. And remember when Paul said that he was caught up into the what?
Third heaven.
Think about that. There's three things there.
Mm-hmm.
He saw what it was to be a complete man.
Mm-hmm.
He saw what it was to be in the love, totally in the love of God, to be an
yes.
expression of the love of God. I believe he saw that
yes.
in that third realm.
Yes.
We talk about the third day. You know, we talk about the third day, and that's what the third day is all about. It's about us coming into the completion of this thing
mm-hmm.
where we realize who and what we are
yes.
in Christ and who and what he is in us.
Yes.
And where we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And remember that the ministries that God gave in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And why did he give them? Till we all come into the unity of the what? The faith. Unto what? A really mature man.
Yes.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yes.
And that's why these ministries are, that's why people who aren't sitting around this table this morning hearing the word of God, they're missing something.
Yes.
The people out there that are listening on, will be listening on the internet, they're receiving something if they'll receive it.
Yes, yes.
And you know,
yes.
that's one reason why, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is,
mm-hmm.
but even as you see the day approach, do it more. But usually what you find happening is they do it less. Because
yes.
they think they got it already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got news for you, they ain't got it yet.
Yes, that's true.
But they will get it.
Yes.
They'll get it.
Yes.
But anyway, I know I just talked a lot about that one word, but you know, but that is a great scripture there. And blessed
Can
be
I
the Lord.
To the other one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I did a word study one time on transforming and conforming.
Mm-hmm.
They both bring about change,
mm-hmm.
but the conforming is you bringing about the change,
mm-hmm.
and the transforming is the Lord bringing
yes.
about the change.
Yes.
Conforming, actually, if you break it down, I hope I'm getting this right, I think it's filters down to the word hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And all a hypocrite is an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting. So when you're conforming, you know, if you're in a high society place and you're not high society,
mm-hmm.
you're trying to conform to that way of living.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the golf course
mm-hmm.
and you don't know golf etiquette. You watch people
mm-hmm.
and then you conform to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you are acting which that's all the word hypocrite means, is accurate. And you're acting to be something that you're not.
Yes.
Whereas transforming is, you won't even recognize it once it's been transformed. It's complete change. You know, when you born again, you become a new creation. Okay, that doesn't mean that the manifestation has completely taken place, because we are to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. So ultimately, that transformation goes right back to what Brother Oscar was saying, that at that transformation brings about completion. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it and perform it and bring it to completion. So, so I'll just say this. We got a body out there that's conforming instead of transforming.
Yes.
It's not just the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that has to deal with the conforming.
Yes.
You know, when I first became a Christian, I was conforming. I was looking around. I was supposed to do this, and I was supposed to do that, whether the Lord led me or not. I'm a baby Christian, and they're telling me what I'm, just like when you went into work, someone said, well, don't listen to this group, or don't listen to that group.
Right.
So you're conforming, and we as the body of Christ has to get to that point where we are being transformed, and the conforming goes away for good, because that's all man-made.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the transforming is God-made.
That is, I think, the huge difference between the old and new, because the Old Testament is the law, and that's what the law wants you to do, is to conform to the laws that man has created.
Right.
For the New Testament, Jesus said, you don't have to conform anymore, I'll transform you.
Yes.
That's the difference, I think, a huge difference in the law and in grace between those two. If I find myself always wanting to conform to the way my church wants me to be and all my works, and I'm under the law. I'm under the law.
Yes.
When you get over that New Testament, you get that relationship with the Lord, you start changing, you metamorphosis you, and God literally does the transforming.
Yes, he does.
Up to him.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Well, let me just say one other thing. We were talking about hypocrite, you know, and in the Old Testament, the name Adam. It literally, this is the meaning of the name Adam. I'm giving it to you straight out of Strong's. It's ruddy, a human being, individual species, mankind. Now listen to this. Another, what did he say? I'll not give my glory to what?
Another.
Hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Common sort. Mm-hmm. Low. Man of low degree. Person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we were talking about before, when you conform to this world, you conform to all of these things. And you're not what God says you are.
The kids now say, you're a poser.
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah.
You haven't heard that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, that's the big thing. If you're trying to be something you're not, you're a poser. I don't know what that word means, but that's the word that they use.
Posing as.
Posing as.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, you're a poser.
Well, Scripture tells us, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Right.
And what a lot of people don't realize is, and you know, this is where I differ from a lot of the teaching that's out there in the world concerning Adam. A lot of people talk about Adam as having been an exalted being and so on and so forth until the fall. Now, God named him Adam.
For a reason.
I mean, he didn't name himself. God named him Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is, it says, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, each man after his own order, you know, after the order of God. And it basically says, the first Adam was of the earth, earthly.
Yes.
He was a soulish man.
Mm-hmm.
How many dimensions?
Two.
One.
Yeah.
One dimension.
Yeah.
Single dimension.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a metamorpho. Not according to that. The last Adam was a life-giving spirit. It was the Lord from heaven. He was a two-dimensional creature. He could be on the earth, but he also could be in the heavens. Jesus, when he stood and he talked to them in the Gospel of John, when he talked to them, and Brother Ed used to quote this a lot, and I used to love when he'd say it. He'd quote where Jesus said, "I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven."
Yes.
Not going to heaven. I'm in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing right there on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
What was he saying? I'm in a heavenly dimension all the time. I'm one with the Father. The Father's in me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
I mean, we're one, you know.
Yes.
And when he prayed his high priestly prayer in the Gospel of John, in the 16th or 17th chapter, I don't know exactly where it's at right now, but when he prayed his, what I call his high priestly prayer, he prayed, "Father, I pray that they might be one. As you and I are one. You and me, and me and them, and then the world will believe."
Yes.
And that word for one there is a word that means, it's a numerical meaning for one, but it also means abundantly man. He was the only abundant man. Adam was not an abundant man. Because Adam was in a state of total innocence, not in a state of redemptive, you know, through salvation. He was in a state of total innocence until they sinned.
Yes.
And then he fell out of that state of innocence. We're in a state of total forgiveness and a state of grace and a state of who and what he is in us. See? And when we realize the difference there, that's the difference. Now, When God said, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion," I don't believe he was really talking about Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first comes the natural, and then afterwards, the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you'll if you really read it prayerfully, you'll understand that the natural had to come first, and that was the natural Adam. He had to come first. He was of the earth, earthly. He was a soulish man. The last Adam was Jesus Christ. And he was the fulfillment of what God said when he said, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion." And if you go up in Hebrews and you go back into the Psalms, you'll find scriptures that says, says in a certain place, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visited him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You did crown him with glory. You set him over all the works of your hands." It says, but we don't yet see that. But what we do see is Jesus.
Yes.
And that's because he was the fulfillment of what God was. And I love what the Amplified says about him in that first chapter of Hebrews. It says he was the outraying of the divine. And buddy, when they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transfigured before them.
Yes.
He was metamorphosed before them. They said his clothes just shine like, you know, light and all this stuff. And all that glory broke from the outside. Read it if you got it there. Read it out
said,
loud.
He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outray or radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding, propelling the universe by his mighty word of power.
Praise God.
Mm.
And you know what? When you see him as he is, guess what?
That's you.
That's you.
Yes.
You just read the description of what he's going to do in you.
Yes.
Because it says when you see him as he is, you'll be what? Just like him. You'll be just like the last Adam.
There's so many people out there that can't even speak that scripture because they their minds can't, then their minds will never be able to wrap around it.
Yeah.
You know? It's not with the mind that you can wrap around that. And so,
you and your man make yourself out to be God.
Yeah.
That's the problem Jesus
said. Yes.
That's it.
And you know what? Yeah, they said, you're a mere man, make yourself out to be God. But really, what God wants to do is make himself out to be a man. Because he wants to be a man.
That's beautiful. Make yourself out to be a man.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's exactly.
Yes, that's my God.
You can reverse that, and that's more true than what they said, you know.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Because why did Jesus keep saying, I, the Son of Man? Why did he say that? He wanted to identify with man.
Yes.
He didn't just say, I, the Son of God, all the time. He said, I, the Son of Man, which I'm in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because
if
we didn't, believe that he was God in man,
right,
how could we ever believe that God would be in us?
Yes.
We couldn't. And that's why the angels, in Hebrews, if you go back and read there again, the angels had to be told to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be told to worship him because they had never worshiped a man. They had never worshiped a man. They had to be told because he was that total expression of God in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
What's the whole sum and substance of the Old Testament? He came to David the tent. He came to the tabernacle.
Yeah.
He came to the temple of Solomon.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's always coming down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
To fellowship and be with man.
Be with man. That's
right. All the Old Testament's about it.
Yeah.
I never went to him.
Yeah.
He always came down
to
see one of us.
Bring us to where.
Yeah.
We're always talking about our approach to God, but he's always talking about his approach to man.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah,
and that's the exciting thing is he wants to approach us every minute of every day, even in our dreams.
Well, can I tell you something? And if you realize that when you talk about us being a soulish person, that suke, it's a feminine word. Soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feminine word, I believe. And, you know, who usually woos who? In a relationship, in a natural relationship.
Man, the woman,
who pursues who?
Joy.
Usually, the woman chases you till you catch her.
Oh, okay.
No, but really, you pursue her. You pursue the lady. I mean, she bats her eyes at you, and she looks at you all pretty and stuff. And you think, oh, what a pretty thing.
Well, it's always the bull going after the cow.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the neat thing about how God is. He pursues us.
Yeah.
I love if you read in the Song of Solomon.
He does.
He talks about the Shulamite woman. And she wasn't very attractive along the way. But yet he also talks about her in very beautiful terms at times.
Mm-hmm.
But she sounds like she's not really very attractive. But he withdraws himself from her. And why does he do that?
For
her to run after him. And why does God sometimes, we feel like at times that, you know, I had an aunt tell me one time, and I felt sorry for her because she was an old line Pentecostal person, and I'm not knocking Pentecostal people. I love Pentecostal people. I love, you know, all the people out there that love God. But anyway, she told me one time, she says, I just can't figure it out. She says, when I was a real young Christian, every time I would pray, it would just seem like God was right there, answering them prayers. He was right there. And she says, now when I pray, it seems like he's so far away sometimes. And I told her, and the explanation God gave me to give her, I said, well, I said, when you have a little child and they walk over to the faucet and they can't reach the faucet, they point up there and they say, water, water. What do? You jump up and go get a glass, you fill it with water, and you hand it to them. But if you got a 16, 17-year-old boy standing at the faucet pointing at the water saying, water, water,
mm-hmm.
You say, get your glass and get your own water.
Mm-hmm. That's Julie.
I get it.
Oh, Julie.
Yeah.
That's love. You still love me. Yeah. That's real love.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, that's what I told her. I said, it isn't that God's far away from you.
No.
It's just that you've come a long way, and he wants you to do things, some things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to keep pursuing him. He wants
yes.
you to believe, even though you don't see the result. You know, Lonnie gave a testimony last week. I don't know if y'all heard it or not. I was just telling Clyde this because Clyde's having problems with his hip and stuff. Lonnie said, he told me, and I was talking to him after church, and he told me, he said, you know, Brother Oscar, he said, when, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was, he said, you prayed for my knee, you know, up in front of the church. And he said, you laid hands on my knee and prayed for it. And I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, you know, my knee kept hurting. He said, and it kept hurting. And he said, and then one day I said, Lord, Oscar prayed for my knee up in front of the church. And I believe I was healed. And he said, I'm going to start thanking you for my healing. And you know what he said? The pain went away when he started doing that. And you know, that's the thing, see. We don't realize a lot of times we will ask God for something, but then we don't thank him and praise him and believe that he's going to do it. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, Jesus went into the different lands, and he said, a lot of times they said, and there wasn't many great works done there because of their what?
Unbelief.
And I tell you, that faith and belief, that has to be there. You know, you know, we can ask prayer all we want, but if we don't believe it when we're praying for it, you know what? It ain't going to happen. Yes. It ain't going to happen, especially as you've walked with the Lord for a while.
Yes.
Because you're throwing a negative thing in there when you don't believe what God's words declares. Yes. You know? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. When you stand praying, you believe. Mm-hmm. Those two kind of go together.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, faith is speaking to those things that aren't as if they've already happened.
Yes. Yeah.
It's over. It's finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, I feel like the working definition that God gave me for faith, and I've heard a lot of different people say a lot of different things, but for me, the working definition for faith is believing in the truthfulness of God. Now, that's the definition he gave me. Now, faith means that I believe in the truthfulness of everything that God reveals to me, everything that I read about him. And there is times when certain scriptures are not for you at that particular moment.
Yes.
There's other times when that scripture is for you. Yes. And I mean, there's times when it'll jump off the page at you and you just, man, wow, there it is. You know, you see it. Mm-hmm. And if you grab a hold of that in that time and you believe in the truthfulness of what that word says, you believe it and you'll receive it. You deny it and you won't have it. I mean, that's what it amounts out to. You know, and what does scripture say? Let God be true and every what? Every man be a liar. And you know what? We're liars.
Yes.
We believe our feelings. We believe. Scripture says a lot of times through vanity we forsake our own mercies, you know, because we're vain, you know, a lot of times. We want to believe what we see with the natural eyes. We want to believe what somebody tells us rather than what God's word says, you know. And I told you about my grandson, about him doing so much better, you know, in school after he was having problems. And they had him, they had those kids that were doing that, standing up and talking. Mm-hmm. And when Jacob got up there, he said, I've had two people I want to thank.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I want to thank my mom and I want to thank the principal. He said, because they always had faith in me and they always told me I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, other people would tell me I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And said the principal cried when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him, he said, Jacob, when you go out into the world, because he's graduating, so when you go out into the world and you're successful, will you please come back and talk to the other kids?
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
mm-hmm.
that's where you can't believe what people say about you.
Yes.
And I'll say this, on all racial levels, all nationality levels, you can't believe what people say about you.
Yes.
Believe what God's word
yes.
says about
mm-hmm.
you, and you will succeed. You will do everything that God wants you to do. And success is not always financial.
Right.
It's flourishing wherever God's got you, and mm-hmm. being what God called you to be, and doing what God called you to do. And man, you can do that on every level. You can do that on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we got off in all this. Somebody needs to hear this even out there or
yes.
something.
Because God has.
But praise God.
Yes.
Yeah. But really,
yes.
to be honest with you, let's remember that his benefits for us, they're never ceasing. They always keep coming, and they don't stop. And, you know, his good, acceptable, perfect will. Let's remember what was said there, because I tell you what, that's what it's all about. Those are the three realms that we have to go through. We go through those three realms, and we learn the area in those three realms, we're going to find that we've come to that full-age man, that complete man, the expression of the love of God. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, I think I preached you a sermon today here instead of teaching, but I'm sorry. But,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We got through one verse there, 19.
That's fine. Praise God.
I don't think we got through that.
No.
I don't think we even scratched the surface of that verse.
Yeah, you get that right. But praise the Lord.
Since I won't be here next week, I want to say this, that when you take out the italicized words, basically what it's saying is, you know, that as we bless the Lord, we get more and more of him.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You take out all the fluff here.
Yes.
I mean, his benefits is him.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about prosperity, like you said, I mean, we're not talking about a new Cadillac. No. We're talking about more of him.
Yes.
I want to be prosperous in Christ and get as much of him as I can get today, and tomorrow get even more.
Yes.
You know, that's the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break down the word of benefits, it's El. It's God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Elyon.
Yes.
And then you go one more level, and it's Ram. Mm-hmm. It's Ram. So you go back to Abraham and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, it all goes back to Jesus, always.
Yes.
It never, ever goes anywhere else.
Yes.
But, you know, it's that word twisted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's us back to that three-rope,
three-cord
rope, or cord rope, or whatever.
Three-strand cord.
Yeah, as we twist, as we get twisted into him, man, we get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and nothing even touches. Nothing even touches.
No, that's true.
I mean, we are able to deal with whatever comes our way.
Yes.
And things that troubled us a year ago or 10 years ago or whatever, I mean, it's, you know, we just flick it off. It's nothing.
Yes.
Because we know that he holds us in the palm of his hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that nothing can touch us unless he allows it.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you don't have to deal with anything but just keeping your eyes on him and keeping in intimacy and fellowship with him.
Yes.
And when you do that, you're strong, man. You're prosperous.
Yes.
You've got all the benefits.
Yes.
I'm going to close with this. The Lord gave me a poem years ago about his treasure. And it goes like this. It says, there is a treasure that's given to man that not many of us seem to know. It's a treasure of peace and contentment where in stillness the Spirit does show. The things that the Father has given that are truly ours to possess, the love, the joy, the health, the peace, and even the spirit of rest.
Yes.
These are truly pearls of great value, and they're rubies beyond compare. They're the emeralds of his kingdom, and they're yours if you'll only but dare to simply take him at his word, by his spirit learn to live. These treasures that he'll give you, only he can give.
Yes.
Mm. And people are looking for those things. They're looking for contentment. They're looking for peace. They're looking for health. They're looking for all of these things. Every place out there in the world, they're not going to find them.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to find them in him.
Yes.
Praise God.
You know what
praise God.
The other sub-root of that is a strong, robust tree.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I could go on and keep preaching when you
said
that.
That's right.
We better quit.
That's all right.
Oh, I think I might cancel my trip. And come back to Sunday.
Yes, Lord. Praise God.
Then I would be in trouble.
Thank you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
close
you,
the word of prayer, Coach Rich.
Father, we just love you so much.
Thank you, Father. Praise God.
Father, you are so special.
Yes, Lord.
You're so wonderful. You're so awesome. We just praise you.
Thank you.
You are worthy for all our praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord.
many times words just can't say yes, what we want to say, yes, in our spirit.
Yes,
deep down in the spirit that, yes, you placed in us, Lord. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship, this time,
yes,
of worship, Lord.
Lord.
This time of focusing on you,
yes,
concentrating,
yes,
on you, Lord.
Yes.
That's our goal in life, is to keep our eyes fixed on you. Then we can't get our eyes to the right or to the left, into areas that we shouldn't have our eyes. So, Father, we just thank you for your word.
Yes.
For the spirit and life to us.
Yes.
And you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, it's a progression, and we want that life every day,
yes,
every single day.
Yes, Lord. Praise God.
Because that life means you are present.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in where you are present, there's,
yes,
fullness of joy.
Yes,
so, Father, we just thank you. Thank you,
yes,
for your benefits. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.